This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff to give elite wrestlers a real shot at professional career. Real American Freestyle is where Olympians, world champions, and NCAA legends come to compete. Not in a cage, not in a script, but on the mat in front of fans around the world. This is real wrestling, reimagined for today. The first event kicks off August 30th in Cleveland, featuring matchups with some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You've never seen wrestling like this. Learn more at realamericanfreestyle.com.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses come with open-ear audio, so you can listen to your favorite music without blocking out the world around you.
Hey, Meta, play Gorgeous.
Here's Gorgeous by Doja Cat.
You can also ask Meta AI questions.
Hey, Meta, when's Doja Cat's next concert?
Doja Cat is playing at the Los Angeles Theater next Tuesday.
Sweet.
Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Available at Ray-Ban stores and other authorized retailers.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. For a segment, I want to see if I can put two legends together. Two of America's finest anchors, John Tesh, also in sports as well as news, and Bill Hemmer, yes, was started in sports and now is news. And John Tesh has never unplugged. He knows exactly what's going on. Your reaction, this is the first time you two have met.
First time I've ever met John.
Yeah, but I feel like I know you because you're the big board guy. You're the guy where my wife and I go, because you know my wife, Connie Selica. So we're both entertainers, and we look at you doing that thing, and we're like, she says to me, you could never do this. And I said, can we talk about something else?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you could do it.
Audition.
Right. Yeah, thanks. I probably don't remember this, but years ago when I first came on the show on Fox and Friends, we were on the show and we were having a good time, and the producer comes to me afterwards and says, hey, would you substitute for one of the guys when they're on vacation? You know, you were a newscaster. Mm-hmm. And I said no, because I really have no idea. I'm going to go on the show and something really bad is going to happen in Yemen, and I have no idea where it is. And she looked at me like, you poor soul. So,
but now you feel differently. Now you're pretty tapped in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so tapped in.
But don't you said you watch all the time.
It's a real honor meeting you.
You too.
Yeah, I mean, I've just followed you forever, and it's good to see you here.
Thank you. Right on. Thank you.
On top of this, Bill, he's got the Olympic background. Can we play the music again, Pete or Eric? You know who wrote this, the NBA theme, right?
Uh-huh.
So it is called Round Ball Rock. And that's before he was known as a musician.
Is that right? Yeah. So you did that you did that on computers, synthesizers?
No, I did it on my answering machine. I was telling Brian, 1990, I was working on the Tour de France, and I heard that NBC was looking for a theme, and I said, what would this sound like? And so I called it into my answering machine, and then when it ended up on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember this thing where Jason Sudeikis did like a whole spoof of the song? That's when it started coming back. So,
and by the way, so NBC gets it back and they bring back the song, and now he's got a brand new album out called Sports.
Yeah, it's the stuff that you'll work out to, basically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No lyrics.
Do we have an? Can I listen to it?
No. It's going to cost you. You cannot listen to it.
We don't have a sample. Come on. You brought a sample from that.
Can't
you download? I mean, the Amazon thing is over.
I mean, I will check it out.
Yeah, John, you must have been saying.
Where do you exercise? What did I do with it? Okay. What is your exercise routine?
I do hot yoga.
Oh, gosh, really?
You can't have music to that.
They will never allow that.
Hot studio. Right.
Especially in this.
It's also hard booking a band in hot yoga because everything gets so sweaty.
Yeah, yeah. So it's stuff like this.
You might be onto something.
I'm getting messages.
by the way, it's a little Rocky-esque,
really
right?
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
if there was a Rocky 8, that would be the theme song.
Did we
song.
Stop at 7 or was it 5?
I'm pretty sure. No, did we stop?
Are
I think,
we still
yeah.
Counting?
No, I think we went to Creed.
Creed 1, 2, 3. I just finished watching those again. Yeah, that's so you got it. Rocky 4 soundtrack is my baseline for writing.
So let me ask you, Bill Hemmer, you got the sports background, the news background.
Yes.
John, you have entertainment, you have sports, and you have news. Do you find yourself staying up with entertainment? I feel like during your era with Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, there was much more interest in the entertainment world? Now, I feel like the reality world has taken over the celebrity world.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good question. Here's what happened. I was there from 86 to 96, right? And during that period, Entertainment Tonight, yep. I would probably say from 86 to 90, I love the data. I love ratings. 23 million people a night were watching Entertainment Tonight.
23 million?
23 million
That's
people
That's what the AFC Championship game
was. It was like a 65 share or something like that. It was in access, you know? And then but then slowly but surely, with social and everything, entertainment news became a commodity, you know? And
what year did you start to recognize that decline?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question. I would say probably 95, 96.
Wow.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Because that's when cable is just really starting to crank up.
Right,
because
exactly.
CNN was in its heyday.
Right, yeah.
Fox was coming on board a year later with MSNBC.
And I think YouTube was like in the early 2000s.
That's changed everything, too.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know what I think, John? I think in the digital age, I don't think anything that we have known will ever stay constant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like our business, we're well aware how quickly it's changing and other people get access to news and information. And I think as long as we're alive, that aspect of our life will always be in transition. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I also have to say, because I've got both of you here and on my new show that I'm hosting right now with you,
you're part of the center square.
I believe that the broadcasters who start or at least have had some training in sports, like both of you, can do anything. Right, because you have to always be that far ahead. Do you agree?
I think it is especially beneficial in the cable news world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like as sportscasters, your brain is trained to look at an image and tell your mouth what words to say.
Right, exactly.
And so it's a rolling play-by-play of what you're watching on a monitor.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do that for hours every day at a time. It's a great advantage.
But don't you think also, John, the thing about Fox is they want your personalities to come out.
Right.
Well, it's hard to get the personality out if you're on prompter to prompter. If it's a news story story to reporter.
Fair.
What happens is the interaction with people, that's who you're encouraged to be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're not encouraged to be stiff and stay away from this. It's whatever happens with you and Dana in between. Yeah. Whatever happens with you and Brett on election night. There's no manager or producer telling you what to say.
That's true. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say that I guarantee you I watch more Fox News than you guys do. We watch all the time. We got it in the car, and I'm not just saying that. But what's fascinating, I'm not going to name any names. It's fascinating when there's somebody who's in an ad lib, so when they come on as an expert, right? And then all of a sudden they get their own show. You can see, and maybe it's just me because I've been doing that for so many years. You can see when they're learning how to use the prompter,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Because it's tough. Yeah. I mean, I think it's tougher to ad lib, obviously. But the prompter stuff is
what helped me a lot was Sports Phone. To get you ready, if you could do sports, like sports or news talk, because there's no script, you have ideas of what you want to say. But Sports Phone, I do 40 hours a week before All Sports Radio, 976-1313. You do updates, every 7 minutes, 40 hours a week. But you do it with box scores and bullet points, and you try to look, that news story's got 7 seconds, I got 50 seconds left. I always felt, number one, I'm still trying to slow down because you try to get as much information as possible. But I always thought the fact that one of my first job was without a script was a huge help.
Yeah,
and then when I went on a script, that was a huge adjustment. I'm like, I know what to say. Like, no, we want you to say that. That was adjustment for me.
How do you develop a skill? Go ahead.
No. What's the question?
How do you develop a skill like what you do with the board when you're doing election night?
Fair
question. You don't have one at home, right?
No. I don't want one. I think practice and preparation is the best tool to utilize it the best on come election night. Yeah. I think the other thing is that you have to really know, you have to understand where the trap doors are in the software for the program.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is when you're flying through that sucker on election night, you got real data in real time. And if you make a mistake or if the board makes a mistake, you have to know how and where to bail out in an instant.
Right.
And you can save an entire segment that way.
Right.
And I think the only way to see it is just run. Like when I leave with you guys today at 12:30, I'm going down to the studio to start running through things for 14 days from now. Right. So we'll run through New Jersey, run through Virginia. I find that, you know, you grew up in Jersey.
Long Island.
He can't stop with the Jersey
stuff. I'm sorry. I thought the first thing you said was Jersey City. So, yeah, that's stuck in my brain. What I want to tell you guys is that we've never had to study New York City before. It's never been a contest.
Yes, yeah.
Seven Democrats, everyone Republican,
right,
if it's not even higher than that. Studying the five boroughs of New York has been an absolute thrilling and fascinating ride for me. Because I've lived here for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where Sunnyside was in Queens.
Right, right, of course. Yeah.
Right. And if you look at the detailed maps for a borough like Brooklyn, 2.7 million people. Now you think about an election night, if this sucker's close. It might be, it might not be. If this is close and you're watching from my home state of Ohio, for example,
right,
and you hear that one borough has nearly 3 million people.
Right.
Think about the intensity of the humanity that lives there. So you can literally walk from neighborhood to neighborhood, and you can find yourself transposed between different religions, different language, every ethnicity on the planet.
Yeah.
Queens has 160 languages. I just, the deeper we go, the more I learn and the more fascinated I am by it, because there's so much nuance to what happens with 8.5 to 9 million people who live in such a small area.
But how about this? How about the fact that he won the primary with 400,000 votes?
Yeah.
So people say, well, that's what happens. He's got to win by 20. Who's going to catch up to him? Well, what if all these people decide this is the one election I want to vote in? Because it's usually the die has been cast.
Can I tell you?
Sliwa against Adams is not really going to get me to the polls. I know who's going to win.
Yeah.
But this might be different.
In the early 90s, John, when you lived in New York,
right,
turnout in 1993, it was 57%. Ever since then, it's on a steady decline every year.
Yeah.
And I think 4 years ago, I think we had about 21% turnout in New York.
Yeah, de Blasio got elected by 11 people.
I think there's going to be massive turnout.
Yeah.
And polls close at 9 o'clock, kind of late for an East Coast time zone. And I think the Board of Elections has to really be careful here. They have to be ready for a massive influx of people that they haven't seen in 30 years.
Good. We hate to have a controversial election because that never happens. That's all we need.
How does the No King stuff play into this coming up here?
I don't think it does. I think those people are either Mamdani or Cuomo anyway, much is going to change the mind. They don't have another option. Yeah. So I would say not much.
Do you think most of the No Kings protesters actually know what they're protesting?
It's a fair question. I did not hear free Palestine in any one of the rallies because for the moment that has been, alleviated for the
moment.
Because
they have to think. And then we're like, we don't know what's going on. And we have to cheer for Hamas executing
Palestinians. I will say that one thing I think that was highly offensive for all Americans, and I'm not taking away from what they did. I don't know if they had 5 million people or 9 million people. We can debate numbers on another day.
Right.
But I saw so many signs talking about fascism and fascists. And we're just a month and a half removed from this killer of Charlie Kirk in Utah. And I you can do and you can say what you want, but I just found that highly offensive.
Right. But boy, these protests are huge. I mean, it seemed to be to me.
Well, I'll put it this way. You have all these people. A lot of people voted for Kamala Harris. They decided to come out and vote. The No Kings doesn't even apply. If there was a king, I don't think the president would be going up the chain to find out if he could put National Guard in Portland or in Chicago. I don't think that what's his name, who just had a press conference before Khalil? Khalil just had a press conference before. Yeah, Mahmoud Khalil just had a press conference. President Trump is still trying to throw him out of the country with his antics at Columbia and violating his visa operations. That's usually not how kings work, according to the history books I've been buying.
I think Democrats, John, have been trying for months now to push back on Trump on something, and this is the something they have found.
Yeah. Right? Are you against or for the robbery at the Louvre?
What?
Would you? Do you have any?
I don't have a comment.
Right? Napoleon?
I think the clues are in the truck they left behind outside. Unless it was stolen, I mean, you're going to be able to trace that thing.
Right. Of course, they always check your credit rating when you have to rent a crane.
Let's get back into inside baseball here. How do you guys, because you're always on the air, how do you stay up? I mean, is your phone like always on and you're always updating yourself?
It is for me. Brian, I assume the same
for you. People like, you're on the phone. I'm only on the phone checking the news and perspectives and find out what's going on. I'm not on the phone like scrolling. But I'm interested. I'm not embarrassed. In the beginning, people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, now I just tell people, this is what I like doing. Even on vacation, I'll take some time. But for the most part, I cannot let a day go by without knowing what's going on. Because at some point on this show or another show, there'll be a gap.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you heard what happened before. You remember how it started?
Yeah, right,
and I'll be
right.
Like, well, those are the 2 days I was on vacation.
100%.
That doesn't work. You can't take a day off.
Do you guys have family rules as to when you can be on and off?
I try to put some rules on myself for like 4 hours at a time on a Saturday because I love to play golf because it allows my mind to unwind and get away from it. Yeah. But like yesterday I was at a charity function at Tunnel to Towers and I was itching to like, well, you know, I have to check my text messages. I got to check the email and make sure that I scroll through X and make sure that Dana doesn't hit me with a question the next day that I haven't heard about.
Right. Just toss to break in case of emergency. John Tesh, do you like Bill Hemmer? So maybe let's go to break now. But has this been a good meeting?
I really see the beginning of a friendship.
I can see you keep it in touch.
There's a song on the album, on the sports album called Legendary. That's him.
John's album, go to johntesh.sports. Round Ball Rock's included in that. And the name of his album is called Sports, correct?
Yes.
John Tesh.
Yes.
Bill's, thanks so much. Multi-talented.
Both you guys. Both you guys. Yeah.
I was old junior high, eighth grade. No one talks about that. I don't know why.
Back you're all junior high.
Yes.
Learning something new every day on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Will Tain Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.